Hello and welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Anastasia Hadjidimitri, and joining me today is, I'm just going to say it, I think you're the next big thing in nutrition. So, Jacqueline Orwell.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much.
So, I'm just going to give people a quick overview of who you are in case they don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. As a side note, shame on them that they don't know who you are. But, okay, so you're a qualified and practicing nutritionist.
I am.
You are an Instagrammer extraordinaire.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
You're the founder of the Brown Paper Bag.
Yes.
Which is your nutrition practice and your catering company.
Yes.
Your mum to Jet.
I am.
And now you're the author of Seasons to Share.
Yes, which is my next baby, I think. And very exciting.
Good. So, what am I missing?
You've pretty much capped all of it in that little space.
So how do you do it all? Because that's a lot of things that you do.
Yeah, it's a juggle, but it's a great juggle. And this is what life is, right? Yeah. So you've got to take it, grab it, and embrace it. So that's essentially what I'm trying to do with life. And hopefully that's what people experience in the food and the words and the stories through the book as well.
Excellent. So do you want to tell us a bit about the book? Well, firstly, actually, so your company, The Brown Paper Bag.
Yes.
There's an interesting story there of how the name came about.
Yeah.
Can you tell us?
It was, even when the business started a few years ago and I was toying with different names, this one stuck, and that I think it's always the case. It's like the one you think, oh, I don't know. It has remained. But The Brown Paper Bag stemmed from the fact that when I was younger and first grew a passion for cooking, my family couldn't really keep up with the amount that I wanted to cook and for them to eat. So instead of it just going to waste, I would package it up in a brown paper bag and share it with neighbours or friends, or even just sort of pass it on through my parents' friends, or, you know, whoever might be around us. So there was always that feeling of sharing beautiful food with people around you. And that has been very much a part of my life in food and entertaining and memories with people as well, whether it's, you know, work colleagues or friends or people that I love or family, you know, that's my sort of offering and a shared experience together through beautiful, nourishing food. So it came from that and has sort of drawn into where it is now. So it's really lovely to have that original concept as a big part of my business and people's understanding of what I do in nutrition, and now through Seasons to Share.
Yeah, excellent. So you mentioned before that your family couldn't keep up with all your cooking ventures. Were they not foodies at all?
No, there was just a lot of it.
Okay.
And originally I really loved baking. So you can imagine when there's cakes and cookies and brownies and all sorts of things, it's, you know, there's only so much one family can eat, and we're a family of five. So it was really important to get that stuff out of the house and give it to people and share it, as opposed to all of us just indulging in it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful feeling when you can offer someone food or you share that gift with someone. It just, it always warms people's hearts.
Yeah, definitely. I know, you know, with my family, we're Greek, so we show our love through food. So if we're always giving you food, it means that we love you.
Yes.
Yes. We want to share our food. So I think it must be the same with you and, you know, the food that you wanted to share.
Yeah. It's experience, right?
Yeah.
And you grow memories from those experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I wanted to share a story with you. So I've got your book and I've got it right here. And I made your baked eggs.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Yes.
On page 162, 163.
So
I remember the pages of my favourite recipes.
Excellent.
So I've never had baked eggs before. So I've boiled eggs and poached eggs.
Yep.
Fried eggs, never baked.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd give them a go because the picture for one was absolutely luscious.
One of my favourites.
Yes.
Yep.
So I did. I followed your recipe. The other thing is I used goat cheese because that's what I had.
Yum.
Instead
Equally as beautiful. Yeah.
So, you know, sautéed my tomatoes, and after that, you know, I kind of layered everything into a frying pan.
Yeah.
The spinach, the tomatoes, cracked my eggs.
Yeah.
Put the cheese, and then herbs and spices. And I don't have a ramekin at home.
Yeah.
So I left everything in the frying pan. And yeah. You know, on TV, how you see those celebrity chefs put their frying pan straight in the oven.
Yes.
And nothing happens to them because yeah. some you can do that.
Yeah.
I was so paranoid because I didn't know if mine could actually go in the oven and stay yeah. in the oven for 15, 20 minutes. So I stuck it in there and I was crouched down in front of my oven for 15 minutes watching that handle of the frying pan, making sure Waking. That it doesn't catch on fire.
Yeah, yeah, or so, melting slowly yes. and infusing plastic smells yeah. through your food. Excellent.
So, yeah, my thighs were kind of killing me at the end of it.
Oh, good.
But I tell you what, it was worth it because those eggs, the best eggs I've ever had.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
so that is now my go-to Sunday morning recipe.
Yeah, and it's super simple, right?
It took me like 2 minutes to set it up.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, the longest.
And yet it tastes like one of those, you know, recipes where you think, there's so much time and, you know, so much has gone into this because it tastes so sensational. Yeah. But when you actually do it, you realise how easy it is. Yeah. And that's a lot of what the book is as well. It's like, these are beautiful, nourishing whole foods, but it's easy and it's accessible. And it's so there's yeah. something for everyone in this book. You don't have to be an advanced cook. You can be someone that this may be your first cookbook.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So there's something absolutely for everyone and they're not difficult recipes.
No,
and you can potentially have a squat workout at the same time.
Exactly.
If you want to stare at your oven.
I'll tell you what, I've never been so paranoid in my entire life. I thought I was going to burn my house down.
I have to send you a ramekin.
Yeah, please do.
For the next round. Absolutely.
So you've lived in Japan and you've also lived in Italy.
Yes.
How has that influenced your cooking today, or has it not?
So much influence.
Yeah.
I sort of wrote a little bit about it in the intro to the book, actually, of how I learnt so much about the Japanese people and their culture through their food, and we all do when we travel. Food's such a highlight. But because I lived there, you know, probably for 4 years when I was around 9, so it's really sort of, you know, influential time of your life, and you're like a little sponge. You're just soaking up everything around you. And I used to ride my bike down after school, just down to the, you know, local sushi store on our little street in Hiro. And they'd talk me through just simple things like how to count in Japanese as they were carving the sushi. Yeah. And I'd watch them carve and look at their technique and just understand the delicate intricacies that went into their food, which was art. And it is art. And food is, you know, an expression of creativity. Absolutely. So learning their culture through their food and bringing it back into how I do things now has been a huge part of my life, not just a business, but it's a life. It's, you know, it is understanding that food is an expression of your creativity and bringing that to life in the plates that you present to people with. So people look at the food and engage and they can see and feel that creation. And in terms of sort of Japanese cuisine, it is, I don't go a week where I don't create something that has an influence of Japan in it, whether it's presentation or flavour or a simple technique. Yeah. It is everywhere in my life and in my family's too. So it's had a big role to play. And in Italy, I was there during my university years. So it was a very different time, but I was in Bologna, which is like the capital of food of Italy as well. So I'd go down to the markets, the local markets, and when I was still very sort of early days of speaking Italian, was conversing with the beautiful vendors at the market about their burrata or, you know, what was so wonderful about this particular prosciutto over another and the passion that comes out of them when they speak of their food and learning all of that through them was just incredible. And they're equally as passionate about sharing food and the experience of it as I am with other people. So it was like, it was just the perfect match. And now still I have so much contact with the, you know, the friends that I was there in Italy with, my Italian friends, and we all still converse over food. And it's had such a big impact on my life and how I love to create an experience around food with people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, both incredibly powerful experiences, Japan and Italy.
Do you think you'll one day move back or move overseas with Jet at all?
I'd love to. Yeah, I'd absolutely love to. I'm not sure where yet. I'm definitely going to take him back to Japan at some point very soon, and give him a taste of that. And Jet, he's like magic. He's happy to try any food. Just once is our deal as well. It's like, you know, when kids sort of come up, they're like, oh, I don't want to try it. Our rule is just have one bite, then you can tell me if you don't like it. Instead of, instead of deciding you don't like it before you eat it, just take one bite. If you're not like, cool, leave it at that. But don't make a judgment on it until you've tried it. So he's very open to that experience and to trying new foods. So I think we could travel anywhere and he'd really enjoy it. So hopefully at some stage in our lives, we'll go and live somewhere and, you know, infuse more of that culture into our cooking in our life as well.
Yeah. Has he tried a food and not liked it? Like completely spat it out and refused to ever eat it again? Or have you done that?
No, I'm pretty good. Not that I can recall. Look, he's not a major fan of tahini, say, like raw tahini. but he's great with other things. Like he won't hold back on an almond butter, or I do like a really beautiful seed loaf or seed snaps, and he'll happily chomp into those. He's pretty open. And the more he gets involved with food, which we do together, and we, you know, create stories around food together, and that's a way of me being able to teach him nutrition and the value of health in our food as well, as that I bring him into the kitchen, or if he's got little mates over and we'll all have a good play with food. Again, it's like, just how do we share this experience together? And then he's more open to trying it. So
all his friends must love coming over to your place.
It's pretty fun because, like, even if it's, you know, a last minute thing, I love so much like bringing a beautiful big table of food together. So if it's something as simple as, you know, pizza night, like we'll do all the little things on the table and get our pizza oven out and put it on the table and we'll roll the dough together, or, you know, like we have a lot of fun in the kitchen and with food together, which absolutely fills my heart with happiness.
That's good. I've seen your Instagram pictures. So if you're cooking at home, the same kind of pictures that are on Instagram.
Yeah.
I would so love if I was one of those kids. Oh, goodness. So people like me, I would go on your Instagram for inspiration.
Yep.
Where do you go? Who do you turn to?
Oh, gosh. Some of the really great chefs in town. Yeah. They're definite inspirations. You can't go past Jamie Oliver. One of the oldest foodies and one of my absolute inspirations, Jody Vassallo, who's just incredible. And there's a few blogs that I follow as well. 101 Cookbooks was one of the original blogs that I followed. Green Kitchen Stories and, oh gosh, Elsa's Wholesome Life and Tilling Gabriel. You know, all of the beautiful. Yes. I think the more I see people bring to life the beauty in food as well, I warm to it even more, because when you see beautiful food in front of you, you engage with it. And so much of our society these days is disengaged from things, and we can become really disengaged with food, and that comes back to all the nutrition as well. So it's really important that we have beautiful food and we enjoy it, and we eat with love and good nourishment in mind. And that's what I hope comes through in the book, with the beautiful, you know, photos and the beautiful food that, you know, you have a experience with, is that it engages you. You want to cook, you want to eat, and you want to sit and just enjoy that meal completely. So they're the sort of people that give me that inspiration. They have a similar kind of, you know, philosophy and approach to the way that they present their food and bring out the beauty in the ingredients.
You won't have any issue with not getting your message across this book. Like, I'm flicking through it now, and it's absolutely stunning. The images, the pictures of the finished recipes, look at it. It's just luscious.
Yeah, I'm kind of thrilled with how it's come out.
Whoever your photographer is, keep them.
Yes. Well, Jason Lucas is spectacular. So, and I have big thanks to give to the photographer and the stylist, because they've done a beautiful job at recreating things that are very close to my heart.
Yeah, definitely. So lastly, you are now, you're You're on TV, you're on the Daily Edition and the Morning Show and the Project. I mean, you know, today you're at Booktopia. Where are you going to be tomorrow? What's next for you? Because I'm seeing big things.
Yeah.
Do you know what the future holds?
No, and that's okay. Because I'm really happy in this present moment and really just soaking all of this in and not thinking too much in the future, but just being very present with what's happening now, because it's pretty special. It's a pretty magical time of my life. This book was a dream since I was 14 and sitting, ironically, in Murdoch Books, flicking through some of their original like cookbooks and looking at them going, you know what? I want to do this one day too. So this has been a dream for the greater part of my life to do this. And then here it is. Like, it's now, we're sitting here and I've just signed copies to send out to people. And we're sitting here with something that is an absolute dream. Yeah. And I'm so thrilled to share with people.
Because you actually, is it true that you did an internship at Murdoch Books?
I did work experience. Yeah.
There you go, it's come full circle.
Yeah, it does come full circle. That's life, huh?
That's life.
Yep.
Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
You're so welcome.
It's been an absolute pleasure. So remember, you can get Seasons to Share right now at booktopia.com.au. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.